A lot of good things today. A lot of good things. We made them play from behind. We got the takeaways. We got the big block punt. We did a lot of things. We ran the ball. I don't know what we got time of possession, but I'm sure we did. By how far, I don't know. We did a good job of studying this team, of believing you could win, of looking at it hard and figuring out how it was going to get done, following directions, listening to the coaches, and going out and playing off. Congratulations. And I'll tell you one thing, it was a hell of a week because instead we all came together rather than go the other way. And that's a big thing about this team and this franchise. We stick together.
Come on.
Thick or thin.
Stay together.
Let's have a team now. One, two, three,
team! Go!
And we welcome you to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center for another edition of Giants First and 10 here on the MSG Networks. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next hour, we'll tell you about the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Redskins. I've got my team by my side. I've got the interim captain for life, Carl Banks. Harry Carson is not with us, so we went with another guy with HC in his initials and a Super Bowl champion in his own right, Howard Cross. Good to see you there, Howard.
All right, Bobby.
Good to have you here. And, of course, we've got our offensive line protection, the one, the only, Roman Oben. All right, let's take a look at what we have on the menu for this week's show. We'll sit and talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Carl Banks goes to the coaches' tape, and he breaks it all down in our strategy segment. We'll be joined on set by veteran Giants defensive end Matthias Kiwanuka. Plus, Roman Oben tells you about the top five things you need to know about the Giants and Washington and how it all kind of comes together. So you don't want to miss that. Five questions with Roman Oben, plus our Big Blue Challenge. So we got a lot of things going, but we always start the show with our no huddle. So what I'm going to do is put 25 seconds on the clock, and I'll turn my attention to one, the only, Mr. Banks. All right, Carl, it's about weekly maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah, good housekeeping requires weekly maintenance, and that means even though you won, you still got to correct the mistakes, special teams, big chunk plays on defense, and turnovers on offense. You got to continuously work on those or else they'll reappear each and every week.
And Carl keeps it under clock, so no penalty in our first segment. And the Giants had that good drive that Larry Donnell fumbled at the five-yard line. All right, 25 seconds go up on the clock for Howard Cross. And you want to dig into the trenches a little bit.
Definitely want to dig into the trenches. Guys, think about this. The offensive line's playing better. Eli's staying upright for the most part. And that running game got off the ground great. You got to love that by the offensive line. Something we thought may have been a question, not that much of a question right now. They got to build on it. Defensive line, the thing you need to do most of all, hit the quarterback and get sacks. They stopped the run. They got after the quarterback. The foundation of the team, offensive line, defensive line, they're showing up.
All right. So far, we're two for two as far as keeping it under the respective time frame. Roman, it's your no huddle. 25 seconds. Take it away.
Well, I think you can't underestimate the power of execution. And you talk about last week. You know, was it the rap music being played during the week? Was it the players-only meeting? I mean, all these what-ifs to change the circumstances that led them to be 0-2, they got out there and executed. You talk about the dominance in the running game. You talk about the turnovers. Mm-hmm. Those are things you have to do to win a game, and you need that confidence in a short week going into a divisional opponent on the road.
All right, so what does Tom Coughlin do as Roman stays under time as well as far as kind of getting this team locked in and repeat and rinse what they did last week?
Well, it's just a matter of focusing on details. They can't do anything physically this week in practice, so they've got to study. They know this team well. They know the personnel. They've just got to study and make that sure that they're fundamentally sound.
Does it make it a big deal that it's now Jay Gruden, you know, Shanahan's gone, and the difference in the offense?
It makes a little bit of a difference. You know, that whole spread, kind of running the ball out of the backfield with the quarterback, it kind of slows down your rush, believe it or not. The quarterback having the run-pass option is a bad thing for almost any defense to deal with. So when you have a quarterback that's actually dropping back to pass the ball, you can actually rush and be full tilt when you go.
And they kept a lot of the successful plays that they had, the running plays.
Yeah. Sure.
They're still part of that system.
I was going to ask you guys, and Roman, I'll hit you with this one. You know, everyone gets wrapped up, fans, media, people on the outside. We all get wrapped up about new scheme, new system, new coaches. But isn't the NFL more than anything else about players? And it's about the guy in front of you. I mean, Alfred Morris is Alfred Morris.
Right. And again, they kept that same zone run philosophy, and it's still a lot of the same guys. So whether you call it a scoop or slip or a trap, it's still the same thing, ultimately, and it's a divisional game. So this game has a lot of implications.
All right. We've got a lot to go here on the program. Also on the show, don't forget, later in the show, we're going to continue with our Big Blue Challenge. Let's take a look at the leaderboard right now through the first 2 weeks of the season. Later on in the show, I'll reveal my grades from last week's predictions, and we'll pose our new question for this week. And you see Carl Banks currently resides in first place, but it is early in the season. There you go. Carl doesn't care about week number two or week number three. He wants to be victorious at the end of the season. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're just getting this train out of the station as the Giants take on the Washington Redskins. Let's take a look at Giants first and 10 programming. Obviously, with the game being on Thursday Night Football, it's a compressed schedule here on the MSG networks, airing, of course, on Wednesday, and then four airings on Thursday, getting you set for Thursday Night Football. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, the head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 as we get you set for the Giants and Redskins on Thursday night. Time to put item number two up on the board as we are joined, as always, by the head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin. And, Coach, obviously the challenges of a short week this week, getting ready to play a division foe. But let's go back to Sunday quickly and sort of the effort that your team played with had to make you proud.
There was great purpose, you know, and the players prepared themselves well. They wanted to win. It didn't go easily, particularly in the beginning. You know, again, a couple of things went awry, but I like the way, the mentality of hanging in there. The resiliency was very obvious, and we just kept battling and battling. I thought the interception by Antrell and the touchdown right before the half, that meant a lot going in at 14-0 because of the way they came out after the half. So, no, we're very happy with the win. There's things that have to be done better. There's no doubt about it, but I like the attitude and the way they came to play.
And, Coach, when you look at in victory, there's always opportunities for teaching post-victory.
Good question. Are
you having any concerns about some of the things that keep appearing? It's not the same thing, but in the same phases of the game, like turnovers or special teams miscues.
Well, the thing that bothers me about the special teams miscue, the obvious was the snap points are taken down off the board with the snap for a field goal. I mean, how many times we've done this? 1,000 times on the practice field. I've never seen him do that. I've seen a high ball, but I've never seen that one happen with Zach. It's a constant process. There's no doubt about that. An awareness of, you know, doing things the right way, doing it the right way all the time. The block punt made us feel a lot better about some of our special teams issues, obviously.
All right, Coach, obviously there's a new head coach in Washington in Jay Gruden, but the defensive coordinator remains the same. Have they changed much defensively from what you've seen?
Not a great deal. Some of the strategy with which how they play has changed. The Philadelphia game being one, they played base defense against their three wide set about half the time that they saw it the other day on first and second down. So that was a little bit different. But Jim Haslett is a very good coach. He's done an outstanding job. That game the other day was an incredible football game, to be honest with you, to study, because there were so many things happened in that game. And I say, can you imagine punting late in the game like that, driving at the length of the field, holding penalty, call it back. They line up to do it again. He shanks it. It goes out of bounds at the 41. They're over the ball with more than 2 minutes to play, down 3 points, ball at the plus 41-yard line. And then the ability of Philadelphia to rise up in that regard and stop them. I mean, it was one of those days back and forth the whole game.
The other thing, Coach, when you take a look at Washington from an offensive standpoint, obviously Jay Gruden has a resume of what he's done in mm-hmm. Cincinnati. What are some of the things that they really do well that you have to shut down in order to win?
Well, I think their staff's made an outstanding adjustment from one quarterback to another, and Cousins is clearly playing lights out. I mean, he was here a year ago, and we played against him, but the number of big plays, the number of throws that are right on the money, the poise with which he's played in the pocket, and the results. 75 points in two games, that's a lot of points.
Coach, we wish you the best of luck this week.
Thank you.
That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Some of the things that Coach talked about, now we're going to dig in a little bit deeper as Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy.
Let's take a look at the impact of the Washington running attack. As you can see, they have all big run personnel in. You have two tight ends, two backs, and only one wide receiver. Now, all indications are that this is going to be some type of run. But as we see, the impact of the run game will often free up wide receivers down the field. And as you can see where the safeties are, everybody's pretty close to the box. That's the guy that you got to watch if you're the corner, linebacker, and backside safety. Very strong run fake. Tight end leaks out. He's the guy that you least expect to catch the ball. Let's take a look at obvious passing situations. The guy that you always have to keep an eye on is DeSean Jackson. When he's on the field, he has the speed to take the top off of the defense. Look how shallow the safety is. When you have a guy with this speed, he'll get on you in a hurry. His eye level has to be quarterback to the biggest threat on the field. He has to shade a little bit to the most dangerous receiver. His eye level is wrong. He never looks at DeSean Jackson. When he finally looks over, it's a big play behind him. On defense, Washington has two very disruptive outside rushers, Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo. They have the ability to collapse the pocket so that the guys on the inside can work their magic. Now, the key for the tackles that when these rushers come, they have to rush at an arc. They have to come out, and you've got to be able to push them out so the quarterback can have clear lanes to either step up in or to escape. You'll see pocket collapses right away. Thanks, Bob.
Those are some of the X's and O's you need to focus in on when the Giants take on the Redskins on Thursday night. Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. When we come back on the program, we'll take you inside the Giants locker room. Paul Dottino spoke to Giants players getting set for the game. We'll tell you about it as we return to Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this.
You know, this is the first time I've actually had to play and then turn around and make that short week happen, so I'm new at this. Great opportunity to be in the national spotlight and try to show this entire league what the Washington Redskins are about. So hopefully we can put on a good show and get a win.
Quarterback Kirk Cousins started against the Giants in the regular season finale last year. He was 19 of 49 for 169 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, and a lost fumble. Time to take you inside the Giants locker room as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10. We're going to dial in on the Washington Redskins, and we put item number 4 up on the board as Paul Dottino joins us. And, Paul, time to take a look at what Washington can do offensively to stress the Giants' defense.
Yes, Bob, and you know, RG3 got hurt a few weeks ago, and that's why Cousins is in there. And they're going to throw the deep ball a lot more often with Cousins. And he's got Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson to go run those routes. The Giants are very much aware of that challenge.
Both of those guys pose a deep threat. We watched a little bit of the Eagles game, and both of them had a great game. So, We have our work cut out for us this week also. I mean, both guys are extremely fast and can definitely take the top off.
They have two great wide receivers. And I mean, our goal is to just don't get beat deep. Keep the deep ball over our head, and we'll rally to everything else.
So, Carl, I got to tell you, last week, Cousins had 48 dropbacks and wasn't even touched. The Giants got to get to him because if he's got time, he's going to go to those guys.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, their scheme, because they can run the ball, they can do a lot of run action passes that will get guys with speed down the field. But the key is 1, 2, 3, 4 have got to put pressure on each man in front of them. You just can't count on outside rushers if you can pressure from the inside and the outside, they'll get some hits on him.
Yeah, and obviously teams will always find a way to protect the quarterback in those obvious passing situations, but you've got to get to the quarterback on first, second down. Some of those play-action passes disrupt some of that timing. That's what really makes a quarterback uncomfortable as well.
And their new head coach, Jay Gruden, as we saw when he was in Cincinnati, he likes to run the ball, and that's another thing the Giants have to do is stop the run.
Yeah, Bob, we all know about Alfred Morris. He's one of the most powerful, best downhill runners in the National Football League. Last week, on a bit of a gimpy knee, came out, went back in against the Eagles, still limited to under 80 yards. Nonetheless, the Giants know that he's a handful.
You got to wrap him up. He's a power guy. If you let him, he'll run through all kind of arm tackles. So he's someone that you really want to get bodies on and take him down to the ground.
Yeah, you got to keep your feet, you know, your base. You know, you have to stay strong in your tackling. You know, make sure you're wrapping up and grabbing. And also, you just also got to make sure that, you know, everybody's running to the ball to help out because the guy's a big and powerful runner. He could break arm tackles real easy.
Now, the interesting thing here about Morris, he's had four career games against the Giants. In the first two, he ran for 100-plus yards apiece. In the last two last season, Carl, the Giants held him for a combined 80-something yards on almost two dozen carries. Do they have the guys to do it again?
Well, it's do they have the tacklers? I think they have the guys that can get it done, but he's a running back, like they said, with power, but he has really good balance, too. So you've got to wrap him up, and it's going to take more than one guy to get him down.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement with the swarm, the gang tackling. You always have to have two or three guys around the ball carrier when Alfred Morris carrying the football.
All right, now it's time to flip the script as we put up item number five up on the board. How do the Giants deal with the pass rush of the Washington Redskins?
Well, Bob, the Redskins have 10 sacks so far through the first three games, and it's all based on those two edge guys, Brian Orakpo and Ryan Kerrigan. Kerrigan has four to lead the way. And those two guys, well, they can cause a lot of trouble.
They're more speed and agility with everybody else, actually picking gaps, trying to open up the offensive line, spread them out, and have as many hits on the QB as they can, bring in one extra, bring in that inside linebacker or a little guy from outside just to spread you out and try to fluster the O-line.
They got both. Both those guys are real good rushers, so they present their difficulties in both areas. So we got to go out there and just, you know, keep doing our thing and making sure we attack those guys and are physical up front.
So I turn to Roman Oben, our offensive lineman. The Giants got to run the ball to keep those guys honest, but the Skins are only allowing 2.8 yards a carry. So how do you do it?
Well, you obviously have to still have the same number of attempts. You've got to continue to run the ball. You've got to continue to try to eliminate third down. You're coming off a 193-yard performance. So that's the kind of confidence you need that whatever is called in the huddle will have a tendency to work. Even as those runs get stopped, you know that a big run is coming if you stick to that game plan.
Yeah, and I think he's 100% correct. And when they play the two stand-up outside linebackers, you've got to test the edges. Your tight end has to play a factor. Your fullback will have to play a factor. They try to keep their inside guys clean, but in a 34 defense, if you get to the second level, your back's out the gate.
And quickly, Roman, how much does it help that they played a 3-4 defense last week?
Oh, a tremendous help. You're playing with those two guard bubbles, two uncovered guards. So in terms of the zone scheme, you've had now 2 weeks, or at least a week and a half, to practice for the same type of defense going in.
All right, Paul, good stuff from the Giants locker room.
Great to be with you guys.
All right, that's Paul Dottino joining us. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Anita Marks joins us for the Blitz as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants first and 10. Thursday night football, the Giants take on the Redskins in Washington. Still to come on the program, Matthias Kiwanuka will join us in studio. We have our online segment with Tom Rock of Newsday, Art Stapleton of The Record, and of course, Pat Hanlon will join us. Roman Oben with his Take 5, asking Giants players what they know about Washington, and of course, our Big Blue Challenge. But it is time to put item number 6 up on the board. It's time for the Blitz as we welcome in Anita Marks.
Thank you. You guys ready?
We're ready.
All right, here we go. In four games against the Giants, Washington running back Alfred Morris has 390 yards, including two of his 10 career 100-yard rushing performances. Here's your question. From any era, who is the most frustrating player that always seems to have the Giants' number? As always, 60 seconds on the board and discuss. Carl?
I would say the era that I was in, it would probably be Randall Cunningham.
And if really? Randall Cunningham?
Yeah. No.
I'm kidding.
Had our number. Had my number. Had our number. And then I would say Harry's era would be probably John Riggins. He was tough to deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, if it's from an offensive standpoint, it was probably for me watching Emmitt Smith run all those games was crazy.
Mid-90s?
Oh, my goodness. It was brutal watching him play. And from a defensive standpoint, I never wanted to see Reggie White or Charles Haley out there. It was ridiculous to watch those guys in the game.
Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play, unfortunately. but I think those Eagles teams in the late 80s that you guys went against, it was funny because you guys seemed to have Washington's number, and you couldn't beat the Eagles, but the Eagles couldn't beat Washington.
Right.
It was like that weird whole little triangle.
Styles make fights.
Yeah. Here we go. Next question. Both Kirk Cousins, now starting quarterback of Washington, and Nick Foles, starting quarterback of the Eagles, both their careers began as backups, right? And they worked their way into being starters and successful starters in the NFL. Here's your question for you. What's best for a young quarterback? To play right away as soon as he makes that leap from college to the pros, or sit and learn? Another 60 seconds on the clock. Who wants to start?
All right, Cross, you start.
All right, I'll say it this way. The things have changed so much in the league, in football in general. If you think about this, you go now, you can see 7-on-7 drills in high school, in junior high. Everybody's throwing the ball. So the big jump from college or to the pros is not as big as it used to be.
It depends on the system, I believe, where the team is. If they need a quarterback, you're going in ready or not. If you have the luxury of learning a system and coming in mid-season, it works. But I think, like Howard said, these guys are coming in with the new passing rules in the NFL. They're probably ready to throw the ball anyway.
Yeah, we've seen it work a lot of different ways. Obviously, you know, Peyton Manning came in and started right away and took his lumps. Eli didn't come in until the final 7 games of his rookie year. But it's the economics of the sport right now. GMs and coaches don't get 5-year plans like when you played. And they would announce it. All right, we've got a 5-year plan. If you're not showing promise in year 2, you're gone in year 3.
And they all take their lumps regardless of when they start.
Here we go. Question number 3. Now, this is really interesting. So far this season, home teams hosting on Thursday Night Football, 3-0. Wow. So my question to all of you is, what is the disadvantage for like a team like the Giants traveling to Washington? Why is there such a disadvantage? Another 60 seconds, and Carl?
Well, I think the perceived disadvantage is that the home team, they don't have to travel. They are in the comforts of everything they do. The reality, though, both teams played on Sunday. Both teams have to deal with injuries, soreness. So you go in, it's about execution is really what it comes down to.
I think it's probably more to deal with the film study. The film study is greatly reduced when you're flying out because you only get the game happens Sunday, Monday you get some film, Tuesday you get film, and Wednesday you're leaving. So there's not the whole film of the entire week getting yourself prepared to get to see these guys on film, to put into practice what you're watching on tape. You're just putting into practice what you just got as notes.
Giants catch a little bit of a break. They're taking a train, not having to fly. It's a shorter trip. What the league is trying to do to make these games more competitive is make them more division games. We saw Baltimore play Pittsburgh. We saw Tampa play Atlanta. Now the Giants are playing the Redskins, so at least there's some familiarity. And maybe the Giants are the team that kind of breaks that trend.
Well, let's hope so. Fingers crossed, guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Anita with the Blitz. Let's take a look at Giants programming throughout the course of the week, not only on MSG, but on My9. Make sure you join us on Wednesdays for Giants 1st and 10. Thursdays, it's Giants postgame live following the game when the Giants take on the Redskins on Thursday night. On Saturday night, it's Giants Access Blue at 11 p.m. on My9. Sunday, it's Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. on MSG. And Giants Rewind next Tuesday, it airs at 6 p.m. on MSG+. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on Giants 1st and 10, one of the elder statesmen of the Big Blue, Mathias Kiwanuka, joins us in studio after this timeout. Welcome back to Giants 1st and 10, getting you set for the Giants and Redskins. One of the real leaders for the New York Giants, defensive end Mathias Kiwanuka.
I think every day when you walk in here and you see the pictures, Hall of Fame players, coaches, front office staff, the tradition is thick here, and you got to live up to that expectation, not just on game day. You got to live up to that every day in the way you conduct your life and the way that you approach football.
If you got something to say to the man next to you, say it now. Grab somebody, tell him you ride for him, you'll die for him. Make sure that we're all in together, man. Lean on me, I'm going to lean on you. You're the best in the game, man. You got to believe that. I believe in you 100%. Everybody wants to win just as bad as the next man. Coaches, staff, all the way down to players, man. Let's take this good week. We have fun. O-line out there catching balls. Let's have fun. But they don't leave the not knowing who we are.
And you got to be able to go out there and give it 100%, whether there's 100,000 people watching or if it's just you.
Under pressure, sack. Kiwanuka, Ayers, and the rest of the Giant front four.
Nice job.
And it's time to put item number 7 up on the board, the 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Redskins. And Mathias joins us here in the studio. How does it feel to gravitate to that leadership role?
You know, it feels good. I mean, it's something that has generally come naturally for me, you know what I mean? But I think as a leader, you got to know when to follow, and there's been great leadership here for a number of years. But if there's that void, I'm willing to step into it.
Well, you certainly did step into it. And when you look at the talented group of guys that you have there, what's going to be the key? Obviously, consistency is. Mm-hmm. But across the board, you got some young guys, you got some veterans. What's the key to success there?
I think up front, I can say it's about getting on the same page. So, I mean, you see plays, and this is something we're talking about this week. I mean, you see plays where individuals are breaking through and they're getting, you know, getting rushes on the quarterback and they're getting hits. But we need to get all four guys on the same page so that when one person breaks through, there's a second guy and a third guy, and then that fourth guy comes. So we're collapsing the pocket at the same time, and we're all sharing sacks and we're all having fun.
You've been here long enough to see when this defensive line was at its best, you know, 45, 48 sacks. Mm-hmm. Do you think about that during the week in the meeting room? Does it get competitive with the guys as far as who wants to get those double digits? Who wants to be the guy to get the
It's just as competitive as it's ever been.
Right.
And we have the same, I think, the same talent level. We have people who have different skill sets, but they bring a lot to the table, inside, outside, guys who can play inside and play outside. And so for me, I think, like, this is one of the premier defenses. We just have to go out there and show it. I mean, we've had guys who've already been to a number of teams, and they've all seen it, and they know that, you know, this group can do it.
Talk about the challenge you have on Thursday. Short week. Yeah. Got an offensive line that's not letting their quarterback get hit a lot, and a runner that you know all too well.
Yeah, I think the last point is what you touched on. What you touched on is like the most important for us in this game. You know, this offense can be stagnant for a couple of plays, couple of quarters, and then break one with the run. And we have to make sure that we're focused. We're playing gap sound. And we're getting after them in the run game. And then when they do decide to throw the ball up front, we know what we can do. And we know we can get there. We just have to get them down to the ground. Because, you know, it's the same old mantra. You got to stop the run, and then you got to rush the passer. And I think it's not more important than this week. Nothing more important than this week.
And with the speed that they have outside with Garcon and now DeSean Jackson, it's imperative to not allow big plays. And you guys are letting up some big chunk plays. I'm sure that's something that's been talked about.
It's been addressed. We're working to make sure we take care of it. I mean, even in a win, there are some issues there that came up. It's obviously easier to correct those kind of things when you get a win. But in those couple of letdowns, I mean, it was obvious that kind of stuff hurt us. And it's not just, you know, you're not just going to put that on the guys in the back. I mean, if they're throwing the ball 30, 40 yards down the field, that means that they have too much time. So for us up front, we'll take our share of that responsibility and make sure that we stop that and get it done.
How important is it to get a little momentum going, too? One win is just one win.
It's huge. I mean, it's important in terms of the season, but it's also important in terms of in each game. I think the main thing was we held them scoreless for a significant part of the game or longer than we had in the previous two games, and that was important for us to build our confidence as a defense, getting off the field, being happy and enjoying it. Like, that kind of enthusiasm when you're playing well, I mean, it feeds into every part of your life.
He leads by example, number 94, Mathias Kiwanuka. Mathias, thanks for a couple minutes, and
Thank you.
Luck.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, Pat Hanlon joins me for our online segment as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and Ten. It's the Giants and Redskins on Thursday Night Football. Time for our online segment. Item number 8 goes up on the board. We're joined by the Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon. Breath of fresh air at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, but it's a short week.
We're back in the New York roof, Bobby. What do you mean, breath of fresh air?
You got to win.
Yes, we did.
I know.
And let's go win another
you're
one.
You're much more relaxed. We've got Tom Rock of Newsday, Art Stapleton of The Record. And, guys, run, run, run. We heard that from draft time through preseason. We finally saw the Giant running game click against J.J. Watt. No small order.
No, it was a really dominant performance, as Eli Manning said, by the offensive line there. And Rashad Jennings really, really proved why the Giants brought him in here, to be a workhorse, to be an every-down back, to be a guy who can get the job done. Obviously, he's an inspirational character, too. The Giants seem to respond to his urging and his pregame speech, but it comes down to running the ball, and finally he was able to do that and really find some holes and make some first downs.
Yeah, I mean, this offensive line took the week personally. You know, Jennings took it personally after his fumble against Arizona, and I think this offensive line, there was that feeling of anywhere, any door that J.J. Watt was going to knock on, it was going to open. It was going to be, hey, here you go. Here's Eli. Here's the running back. And I think every one of those offensive linemen took it personally. And, you know, John Jerry, J.D. Walton. I mean, these guys who week one, people wanted them out of the league. They actually not only just looked like competent offensive linemen, they were dominant. They had plays that they were dominating. And I think that's a huge plus for this team.
Tommy Rock said Justin Pugh didn't mind answering those J.J. Watt questions.
No, not afterwards. No. He had plenty to say about
one
that.
There was a photograph in one of your competitors' newspapers, which I thought captured the day perfectly. The rookie, Weston Richburg, is blocking J.J. Watt and has him pinned, and Rashad Jennings is running right off his hip. And that would, to me, that picture summarized the day.
There were three plays in a row where John Jerry knocked him back. Then Weston Richburg, because he went to the other side, pushed him back. And then the third one, J.D. Walton, put him on his back. And here's Watt looking for a flag because he knows he just got dominated by the entire interior of this offensive line, which was supposed to be the biggest, weakest link.
Yeah, it was still pretty funny, though. J.J. Watt, you look at his stat line. What, did he have 7 tackles? He had a sack. He had another quarterback hit. He batted down a pass. That's a pretty good day for anybody else.
Right.
Giants seem to think that they shut him out.
Yeah, they didn't let him wreck the game. He knew he was going to get what he was going to get. All right, now we got to fast forward. It's a short week. Thursday night, it's the Giants and Washington Redskins. Some areas of concern still with this team, and it goes to the defensive side of the ball. They're giving up big chunk plays. Last year, they only gave up 7 runs of 20 or more yards. They've already given up 4 this year. Last year, they gave up 11 pass plays of 30 or more yards. They've already given up 6 this year. What gives here in what was supposed to be a strength of this team?
Yeah, they gave up 2 of them on one drive that accounted for 90 yards of a 94-yard drive. So, they got to get themselves together.
The Redskins' running game has been dominant against the Giants the last couple of years, but it will be very interesting to see Kirk Cousins under center and not RG3 because now you're talking about probably more base stuff. They can really get after Cousins in the pocket rather than having to worry about RG3 breaking out and running any of the read option stuff. I do think stopping Alfred Morris will be a major factor. And don't forget DeSean Jackson's shoulder injury against the Eagles. He gutted it out. Short week for him.
Yeah, he gutted it out from 81 yards out. Yes, he gutted it out.
Short week for him. You know, you may want to lock him down.
But remember, Cousins started last year against the Giants, and he had a quarterback rating of 38 in that game.
That's what I like about what's happened so far in the early season. We go into each week with, like, a checklist of things we need to get better at, and we keep checking things off. Now, you got to maintain that improvement in those areas where you've fixed them. But we still have plenty to fix, as
you
said.
So let me get your prediction for Thursday night.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Giants found their groove on offense. I think the Redskins are going to be able to put some points on the board. But I think the Giants can win and break this road team schneid on the Thursday night games, probably around 31-27.
Yeah, I think the Giants could win, too. I think the matchup favors them. I like what I saw out of the offensive line. And I think two names, obviously Jason Pierre-Paul, Robert Ayers has given this team something. 91 went down there last year and got four sacks. Now, I'm not saying Ayers gets four sacks, but he could be a difference maker. 27-21 Giants.
All right. There you go.
I want to stay in the New York groove, Bobby.
Okay.
I'm back in it. I want to stay in it.
They're going to have to do it down in Landover, Maryland on Thursday night.
We can do it there, too.
All right. Yeah, we'll find out. That's our online segment. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the show, Roman Oben with his Take 5. He asked Giants players how much they know about our nation's capital, plus the Big Blue challenges. We return to Giants First and 10 after this.
No, we're very happy with the win. There's things that have to be done better. There's no doubt about it. But I like the attitude and the way they came to play.
The interim captain for life, Carl Banks.
Back in the New York group, Bobby. What do you mean, breath of fresh air?
That was our GEICO Show recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit GEICO.com. Time to put item number 9 up on the board. Roman's Take 5, as he asked Giants players in the locker room what they know about Washington.
Hey, Giants fans, this is Roman Oben. Welcome to another edition of Take 5, the D.C. edition. We're going to see how well these players know the nation's capital and my hometown of Washington, D.C. All right, I'm here with rookie running back Andre Williams, seeing how well he knows his opponent's nation's capital. You ready?
Yep.
What famous person lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Presidents.
Barack Obama and his whole family.
Name the three branches of government.
Judicial, legislative, and I can't remember the last one. Executive.
Oh, he gave it to him. Hers gave him that one. We got to give you another one. What's the name of the famous monument in Washington, D.C.? The famous monument in Washington, D.C.
The White House.
Monument. Washington and Monument.
The Washington Monument?
Bingo. We got smart linebackers here. The Smithsonian is
A museum.
From one left tackle to another, I'm here with Will Beatty. Washington, D.C. is the nation's capital. What city was the first nation's capital?
York.
And you are from?
Pennsylvania.
York, Pennsylvania.
I am.
And if you didn't get this question right, we would have had a problem. We would have had a fight in the parking lot. True or false? There's a street named after every state in Washington, D.C.
False.
True. That's true.
There's a Hawaii street?
Yeah. It's in the hood, too, which is hilarious. D.C. borders two states. Can you name those two states?
Maryland and Virginia.
What nickname was given to the 1980s offensive lineman of the Redskins?
Good question. You tell me. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Starts with an H. Reminds you of pigs.
The Hogs.
Hogs. D.C. was named after two people. Can you name those two people? Washington, D.C. was named after two people.
Probably George Washington and then George Washington Carver.
George Washington.
George Washington.
And the dude sailing in the boat.
Fill in the blank. Washington, D.C. was named after two people. George
Washington.
And Christopher
Columbus.
See, he knows his opponent.
Hey, you know,
fill in the blank. Fill in the blank.
Oh, that was good. That was good, Roman. I love the one about the Hogs. You realize that most of these guys weren't born yet when the Hogs were in full swing.
Yeah, and you outdate yourself. I mean, that's 30 years ago. I grew up in D.C. I worked at RFK Stadium as a kid, and I knew all about. That's why I wanted to be an offensive line, watching the Hogs and John Riggins and those guys. But the fill in the blank, I mean, you got to get. I had to help some guys along. Larry Dineau needed to fill in the blank, unfortunately.
The best one was the Washington Monument. What monument in Washington? You got any for us?
You guys know them all. I mean, you guys are all pretty smart.
Thank goodness.
The one that stumbled people, like the three branches of government. I mean, some guys get one. I mean, at least, Hinoski got a couple.
Yeah.
He got help from hers.
He got help
from hers. So legislative, executive, and judicial.
There you go. So that's what you need to know about our nation's capital. We shift gears now as we put item number 10 up on the board. This is our Big Blue Challenge. All right. So what we do each week is we pose a question to our expert panel. And then I am the grade, and the highest score that you could get on this segment is a 5. So Carl Banks has the lead. Harry Carson, who's not here this week, has 4 points. And Roman, you've got what?
I've got a deuce.
1 point in each and every week. All right. So the question that we posed last week was, which position group of the Texans did the Giants need to control the most? So, Carl, we'll start with you since you're in the lead. You said the Giants need to control Houston's defensive front. I think we're all in pretty good agreement that they accomplished that. So, Banksy?
Don't put it up there yet. Just keep going.
Banksy, you get 5 points for that.
Wow.
So you get 5, and now your season total is a whopping 10 through the first week.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. No medals for the third game.
Harry Carson said the Giants have to control the running game of the Houston Texans. Now, in the first part of the game, when the Giants were struggling offensively and they made some mistakes with special teams, the defense played really well. They kept getting the ball back to the offense. But they had their breakdowns in the second half. So controlling the Houston's running game, I'm going to give Harry 2 points for that. Harry's going to get 2 points for that. So Harry slumping a little bit. Harry is at 6 points total, currently in second place. All right, Roman.
Can I get a 10-pointer?
You said the Giants must contain Arian Foster. Well, Arian Foster didn't play.
So they contained him. They contained him.
And the running, you said they have to control the running game.
It's all relative. It all works together.
No.
There's a symbiotic relationship.
This is a great week for you. You've matched your season total.
Oh,
you get 2. If I gave Harry 2, I've got to give you 2. Geez. So you're at 4. So right now, Banks in front with 10 points. Harry has 6 points. And
I'm crawling.
Listen, you doubled your output this week. All right, so here's the question for this week on the Big Blue Challenge, item number 10 on the board. Which player on offense and defense, this is going to be a two-part question, so I want 2 answers, must have a standout game for the Giants to be victorious? Which player must have a standout game for the Giants to be victorious? Now, Harry's not here this week, so we've got Howard Cross sitting in for Harry this week. So, Howard, you are now also a temporary captain for life. Time to make your picks. Which player on offense and defense for the Giants must have a standout game for the Giants to be victorious?
I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good this week.
Maybe instead of throwing it by placing it in,
it'll
give you an opportunity. Banks, it's not War and Peace here. I know you got the lead. You might be overthinking this a little bit.
No, actually, when you try to...
It's lonely at the top, man.
When you put players only, that's the whole other deal. Well,
that's a whole other thing.
Subjective. It's
not, but it doesn't have to just be stats. I mean, it could be offensive linemen that play well.
Yeah. Put Harry up here so you'll know what's happening.
That's Harry. No, we know it's you. We know it's you, Cross. All right, so, Carl, as we close out the show again, as we did in the first 2 weeks, since you have the lead, you get to hold the cup.
The challenge chalice.
That wraps it up for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we gave you the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Redskins on Thursday night. For Carl Banks, Howard Cross, thanks for sitting in for Harry. Well done.
I'm glad he's holding it. I got a bad elbow.
And Roman Oban, I'm Bob Papa. Enjoy the Giants and the Redskins on Thursday night. We'll see you again next week right here on MSG for another edition of Giants First and 10.